If you have your Bibles this morning, Genesis 39, all of us want to remind you are looking to be successful. There's no one here who wants to be a failure. Success is built in an American's DNA. Our country is built on success. We had so many firsts in America. We became one of the first industrialized nations. I mean, our country has just been blessed of God. It's been a success story. But I want you to understand that there are two kinds of success in life. One, that you and I can enjoy living and have the blessing of God upon what we've done. If you have your Bible, turn, keep your finger in Genesis, but turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 6. Verse number 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for a soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not the power to eat thereof. But a stranger eateth it. This is a vanity, it's an evil disease. You know what he's saying? We accomplish our goals, but we don't do it for the Lord's glory, and it's empty. That's not success. The Lord wants us to be successful. And if you would have noticed in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, just look up a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, notice with me if you would, verse number 19. Ecclesiastes 5, 19. Every man to whom God hath given his riches and wealth and given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. That is success. It's whatever we've done, the Lord blesses, but he gives us the joy thereof. That's success. Success is when God gives you the gift of joy and peace and satisfaction and accomplishment, and you feel like you've done something for him. That's the first kind of success. The second kind of success is when you and I step foot in heaven. He calls our name. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13 through 17. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The picture is of the Bema seat in the Olympic Games. There was a seat high lifted up that he was the judge to make sure everyone played fairly. He was the one that sort of awarded the awards. It was called the Bema seat. And that's the word that's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's the Bema seat. We're standing before the throne of God, the great white throne. And for us, it's not a throne of judgment. You should have done this, you should have done that. He's going to take the book of our life, put it into a fire, and try it. And every action, deed, thought, or word that we have done, the Bible says every idle word that men shall speak to give account thereof, day of judgment. Matthew 12. So if every word is judged, every thought is judged, the idea is a judgment for reward. It's a judgment to honor you. It's a judgment to say thank you for being faithful to me. Thank you for serving me. That's the idea of the Bema seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, that he can reward those that have been faithful to him. All of our sins are gone. But we still commit them in life. They're all paid for, but there are blank spaces in our book where sin was. So when you and I do that which is right, it's written in the book and therefore reward. But because every word is written down, there'll be blank spots. Because the word that was spoken in anger or bitterness was paid for by Jesus Christ. So when we stand before God in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, there's an empty place, gone. And if we don't live for Jesus Christ, there'll be blank pages. And that's why I urge every young person, every adult in this room, to consider your life. Are we like Joseph, a servant and a success? Are we like Joseph, someone that, now keep in mind, he went through, he was 17 years old, and it was not his fault that his father loved him more than all of his brothers, and so his father made him a coat of many colors. It's like he went down to the store and bought him the nicest coat he could find and just caused jealousy and bitterness in all of his brothers. They hated him. It wasn't Joseph's fault. And so it's like the Lord was preparing him for something to do for him. And God is preparing everybody in this room for doing things for him. The question is, will you and I allow him to work in our lives? So that when time comes, now keep in mind, we're to be faithful day by day. God's using us every day. But many times he has something down the road for us that only we can do. And so if we are not faithful in the interim period of training and teaching and preparing, we're going to fail. Samson failed. David failed in a matter of sense. Demas failed in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira failed. Mark failed, but got back into the idea of I want to serve the Lord and was successful. So you can see that we can start off and say, I'm not going to do what's right, and all those pages of our life from salvation on are empty. And then we can start off for Christ and then have a season where we don't serve the Lord, such as John Mark. And those pages are empty. And then we can end up filling up those pages at the end, like John Mark did, writing the second book of the New Testament. We can be a blessing to the Lord. But what is it like when God finds somebody that starts off young, goes all the way through, faithful? Those people hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe John Mark is going to hear, well done. God has the ability to understand the flaws of man and to be gracious and merciful to us. Now, I do believe John Mark lost some rewards that he could have had. That's the reason 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I look at Joseph. There are two men of God that I look at in Scripture, and I'm just reminded, Lord, I want to be like them. Joseph and Daniel. Now, Joseph had some really hard times. He's 17 years old. His dad gets him this coat, and his brothers are immediately embittered. Now, they're bitter at him because, number one, the father loves him more than the others. If you have your Bible, turn there, if you would, to Genesis 37. Notice, if you would, in verse 3, Genesis 37, 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all their brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Can you imagine being put in that position? None of your own accord. You just did what was right, but all your brothers didn't do what's right, and they just hated you. And because your dad loved you for doing what's right, he made you a coat and said, he's special. I really love him. And it just made your brothers want to just destroy you. That's Joseph's life. Now, God had a plan. And God's got a plan for all of you. He's got a plan for each one of us. And we don't know what day it is that God has trained us for this day and trained us for that day. Multiple times God trains us to witness to somebody, to be a testimony to somebody, to let our light shine. But your life is to be a plan for God that he can win the world one person at a time. And everybody in this room, he needs you. Will you be a servant? And will you succeed as Joseph did? It's a choice, but you have to start today making that choice. Now, I want you to notice just four simple things. One, Joseph had trusted the Lord as Savior. He had asked the Lord to be his Savior. You can see that, if you would, Genesis 39. You'll see in verse number 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. So we know that there was a point in his life when he had come to Jesus Christ, when he come to God the Father and said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I know you're going to send a Messiah one day to pay my debt of sin. Will you forgive me? You'll find that Hebrews chapter 11, it's mentioned in the Hall of Faith. So we do know that he had asked the Lord to come into his heart and be his Savior. Everyone in this room, if you're going to be a servant and a success, if you're going to hear the Lord say, well done, you're going to start there. If you're not going to get to heaven, I'm telling you, I cannot envision a place called hell. The Bible says, they were cast into a devil's hell, Revelation 20. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into hell, lake of fire. Brimstone, rocks so hot, they're molten. A body that feels the pain, but there's no relief. Why is that? Because God didn't make hell for us. He made hell for the devil and his angels. He made it horrible. But if we choose not to trust Christ as Savior, there's no place else for us to go. Now, man wants to figure out some other way, so we've come up with purgatory. Or there's an avenue out, but there's no avenue out of hell. It's permanent. Joseph asked the Lord, would you save me? I want to go to heaven. And the Lord was with him, became his God, became close to him. You know, sometimes you begin to look at his brothers, you wonder if they were ever saved. And there are some people that live that way. Could I plead with you, the people of Temple Baptist Church, that you would purpose in your heart, even this morning, Lord, I want to live in such a way that people know I've asked you to be my Savior. I want them to know that you are with me and that I want to walk with you. But folks, you've got to choose that. No one can make you choose that. Joseph is 17 years old and he makes this choice. Now, he's made it sometime before that, but then you'll notice that his brothers hate him so much, they said, we're just going to get rid of him. Number one, they wanted to kill him. But then they saw the Ishmaelites come along and they said, why kill him? Let's make a profit off of him. Can you imagine? Now, for 13 years, Joseph has nothing but trouble. But each time, he was faithful when trouble came. All of us in this room, we're going to have trouble. I mean, COVID has caused all of us different types of trouble. But I want you to understand, everything in a Christian's life, God designs it to make us stronger, to make us more usable. God designs it to make us where one day there's a need comes up and God can call upon us. Now, it's probably not going to save the world like it was for Joseph, but God was calling him, Joseph, I'm preparing you for something. Will you be faithful? I'm gonna allow your brothers to mistreat you because it's not what I want, but I need to make you stronger. I need to make you more forgiving, more loving, more gracious, because you're going to have people from all of the world come to you and want to buy wheat, and they don't deserve it. They're going to want to buy food, but they don't deserve it. But I want you to be good to them. And you're going to learn how to be good. So he allowed his brothers to throw him in a pit. And he cried out and said, don't do this. Whatever I've done, I'm sorry. And they saw the anguish on his face and they didn't care. He said, but I'm going to create compassion in your heart. Now, the Lord will do that for all of us. In Chicago, first church I was a youth pastor. It was my duty on Mondays to visit hospitals. Chicago's got a million of them. And so I'd go visit the hospitals, and I would just try to get it done in one day. And I'd go in and sit down to someone's room, and I would ask them the prayer request that they would have, and I would talk to them a little bit about it, and I would pray with them, and I'd go to the next room. And you got to understand, I'm new out of college, and I was excited about being in the ministry, and I wanted to be a blessing to people, but it didn't have that something that when you went in and sat down in the room, you could connect. It wasn't a job to me, but I was missing something. And so I remember when the disc in my neck blew out, and I was in absolute agony. I went to the hospital, and they did the neck surgery, and I was on a walker and 30-something years old. I came out of my room, a full neck brace, and I bumped into the guy next to me coming out of his room. I went, oh, excuse me. Yeah. This is weird, isn't it? It's weird. And we're going like, you know what the Lord was doing? He was fixing that spot in my heart. It was missing. So after that, when I went into the hospitals, it was easier to sit down and say, how can I pray with you? What can I do to be a blessing to you? And let me put it down on my prayer list. And then, of course, the Lord gave me Susan at the end of her life. And he just began to work on my heart. I didn't realize that I needed compassion. I needed to care for people that didn't want me to care. I needed to love people that didn't want me to love them. So I've walked into those hospital rooms when people didn't want me there, you know. Well, who called you to come? Well, you know, just your aunt or your uncle or your brother, they care about you. They do. They do. And I care about you too. And I like to tell you how wonderful the Lord is. The Lord had to work on my heart for that. Well, Joseph, apparently he was a young man that had visions and dreams. Because he did. He told his dad about it. I dream one of these days that you, Mom, the sun and the moon and all the stars are going to bow down and worship me. So there was a little something in his heart maybe they looked at him and the father rebuked him for it. And so the Lord says, I'm going to fix that in your heart, Joseph. So he allowed him to be sold as a slave. Now, none of this of us want to have that happen to us. But I noticed that there was an acceptance of the will of God in his life. And so I see that he asked the Lord to save him, but an acceptance of the will of God for his life, an acceptance of where he was. Notice, if you would, in Genesis 39, it says this, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he remained in the house of this Egyptian. When he was sold, he accepted this as his life. He was bought and paid for. He could never go back home because he could never save up the money to buy himself out of slavery. So he accepted this as the will of God for his life. That must have been difficult. Have you accepted where God has you today? I mean, if it's right, have you accepted, Lord, today, maybe right here, you're trying to work in my life. What is it you're trying to do? The little maid that was sold to Naaman, she accepted her role in life. She was taken as a captive and she was made a slave to Naaman's wife. But she accepted the will of God for her at that point in time. You know, One of the things I always loved about Susan was she accepted the loss of her leg. And then she accepted the next loss of the leg. And she accepted all the surgeries one step at a time. I said, how do you do that? How do you accept difficult things in your life and just say, Lord, I'll trust you? The Lord wants you and I to learn to trust him in difficult times. So Joseph, you understand, just think of all the things that he went through. He was sold by his brothers, but before that he was thrown into a pit. They left him there to die. Then they found the Ishmaelites and said, let's sell him, not leave him there to die. So then they drag him up and they sell him. Then he's sold to Potiphar. Then he does a good job in Potiphar's house. He accepts the will of God for his life and he works hard to be a blessing to Potiphar. And Potiphar elevates him. Notice, look at this, verse number 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, this is in the midst of the most difficult time in Joseph's maybe 18 years of life. He's a teenage boy. He's been sold as a slave by his brothers, but it doesn't ruin his spirit. And folks, we have people that ruin our spirit in our own house sometimes. We get bitter and angry and fuss and fight with each other. How will God ever use us if we can't learn how to take a little trouble and say, Lord, I need your strength? Somehow Joseph said, Lord, I need your strength. Help me to do a good job for Potiphar. Lord, if this is what you have for me, I don't understand. And the Lord's got a clock in heaven. You've only got 12 more years and you're going to be prime minister of Egypt. I'm preparing you. So it's going to be a few more years and you're going to be a father. So it's going to be a few more years and you're going to be the boss in your area of work. It's only going to be a few more years and you're going to be a grandfather. I'm preparing you. It's only a few more years and you're going to be a grandmother. I'm preparing you. It's only going to be a few more years and you're going to be a neighbor. I'm preparing you. And so Joseph, okay, Lord, you know, I just want to serve you where I am. He accepted his time and place as the will of God and said, Lord, I'll do my best. I don't see any way out. I'll trust you. And so you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. Do you realize there's a willingness to do the will of God here? Lord, I don't like this. Anybody here ever had a position maybe or something you had to do that you didn't like, but you had to work on learning to accept it and then take it the next step, not just accept it, but Lord, I'm going to do this for your sake. I don't like funerals of people that don't go to church and that are lost. That's one of the most difficult things in my life to do. But people from the funeral home will call and say, Pastor Pittman, would you do a funeral for us? We have someone that claims to be Baptist and they'd like for you to do a funeral. The other day I had to ask Brother Brandon to do one for me. But from time to time you do it. My first one was 45 years ago and it was of a prostitute that died. There were two people at the funeral. Her son and me. My first funeral. And I said, Lord, what do I say? Lord. And so I go back to scripture and I begin to say, you know, I want you to understand that there is a God in heaven that loves you. Now, I'm trying to get him to ignore the life of his mother, but trying to get him to understand that God loves him. And so, Lord, help me. I need your strength and help. Lord, I don't have an answer here. And so I'm trying to say to you, all of us in this room, we get put into positions where God says, I need you right now to be prepared to do your best. Do we accept the will of God at that moment? Lord, you strengthen me. I need you now. I'll never forget looking at that casket. Lord, I don't know what to say. I need you to give me something for this son. I preached at the Pacific Rescue Mission, at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission in Chicago. It was a place for down and outers by the thousands had come there. Some famous people had been there. And I remember going in to preach, and there was this tall guy in the back, an old matted coat. The coat was just filthy. And, of course, everybody there lived on the street in Chicago. Lord, give me something where I can help these guys. Lord, I don't know what their life is like, but you've got me here for a purpose. And I preached to them about the Lord Jesus and the wonders and graces of Christ. And at the very end, I said, anybody here like to trust the Lord as Savior? I know that your life is difficult, but there's a God in heaven that loves you. And I saw this big, tall guy get up with his matted coat, come down the front and said, I want Jesus Christ for me. Knelt down, cried and prayed and trusted the Lord. I'm going to go back home to my family. I got to thinking, Lord, what would it have been like if I'd have just preached a message and not tried to say, Lord, I need you. I think Joseph here is in this place, and he said, Lord, I need you. I can't help Potiphar. I can't help his wife. Lord, I need you. Forget about my brothers. Forget about me. I want to serve you, Lord. He accepted his place of service. Have you accepted your place of service today? Then I noticed, even though he had been bought and sold, even though he'd been rejected by his brothers, now the Lord begins to bless him, and he rises up. And notice, if you would, verse 4, the last part of the verse, it said, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. So now he looks at it and says, okay, Lord, I'm finally succeeding. Lord, I think everything's going to go good now. Thank you, Lord. Maybe this is my lot in life to manage Potiphar's house. And then his wife begins to come after him. And you know the story. She lies about him. And notice what happens in verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. So now all of a sudden he's lied about, and he's thrown into prison. Can you imagine now what he's thinking? Lord, this isn't fair. But he had an attitude of submission to the Lord. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I know that this is not in my plan to be put into prison. Lord, I want to serve you. Do we have an attitude of submission? He had it to Potiphar, and he rose. He had it to the jailer, and he rose. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 22. Verse 21, and the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. So do you understand what God did? God said, okay, because of your attitude of submission, I'm going to keep blessing you. So do we have the attitude of submission at work, in our home, to our parents, to each other? There is an attitude of submission, Lord. I know I'll accept your will for my life today. Lord, help me to make a difference today. But help me to have the attitude of submission to you, Lord, and to those that are around me, Lord, that I need to. Lord, help me to represent you well. And that's Joseph. And so Joseph begins to rise back to the top again. And so now he's in charge of the prison. Now, this isn't a fantastic job. We don't know how long he's here. We know that he was here for 2 years plus, because he meets the butler and the baker, and he gets hope in his heart. And so he says, look, you know, Mr. Butler, would you remember me when you get out? And so the butler says, okay, I'll remember you. Tells him the story of his soon release and the answer to his dream. And he gets out and he forgets all about Joseph. And he goes for 2 more years. And Joseph said, Lord, why did he forget me? And I'm certain there are times he said, Lord, I don't understand. But he said, Lord, I'll submit to you. I'll do what you want me to do. He submitted to the jailer, and he submitted to the Lord. And an attitude of submission to authority Have you submitted your attitude to the Lord in whatever life position you're in? If you're married to someone that's difficult, can you imagine Abigail married to Nabal? And yet she had a sweet spirit. She loved her husband. She protected him. Actually offered her life in exchange for his. You see, God doesn't make any mistakes. But he's got a plan for your life, and he's trying to work in your life and mine in every event that happens in our life. There are no mistakes. And if Joseph would have given up, if he would have said, forget this, and he would have started mistreating the prisoners or started paying people back or having his heart, the bitterness toward his brothers, and I can't wait to one of these days, maybe I'm going to get out of here and pay my brothers back. He'd gotten rid of all that stuff, and he had said, Lord, I submit to you. I accept your will, Lord. I want you to guide my steps. And so God says, now, after two more years, and I don't understand why God waited two more years. Maybe he needed just a little bit more fine-tuning. But it's not up to you and I to say, Lord, I'm ready. It's up to him to say, I'm ready to use you now in this area. So you remember the story. If you'll notice, if you would, this passage, notice in Genesis 41. If you would, notice if you would, Genesis 41 in verse number 14. Now you begin to see the payday comes. You begin to see the accomplishment of success. You begin to see it now. And it's from the Lord. Notice he doesn't earn it. He just does the things along the way that allows God to bless him. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Notice, if you would, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Now listen to that. He's in a dungeon. He's in a dungeon prison for years. We don't know how long. It could have been 6, 8, 10 years. We don't know. We know it was 2+. Notice, if you would. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into the Pharaoh. So if you can picture in your mind, his beard's fully grown and he's just, he's scraggly and he's been in the prison, in the dungeon. And yet he's got this effervescent spirit. Yet he's got this attitude of submission. He's got this sweetness of soul. And folks, I want that for you and your marriages. I want that for you and your places of work. I want that for you young people and your parents. I want that for you and your neighbors. A sweetness that only God can give. But it's required that you accept the will of God for your life where you are. That doesn't mean God can't change it. And that doesn't mean you don't pray for God to change it. But you accept where you are because God didn't make a mistake. And then you have this attitude of authority that's right. Attitude of submission toward authority that's right. And no matter what it is, you just keep having the right attitude. Notice, if you would, in verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I dreamed a dream. Now here's Pharaoh talking to this prisoner out of the dungeon with almost respect. He said, I've dreamed a dream. I need your help. God had worked on Pharaoh's heart to where he's all in turmoil. He said, I've heard that you can interpret dreams. He did not know that the butler was there for one reason, that he could tell Pharaoh about Joseph. And God had been working in Joseph's life for 13 years. And now it's time to shine. Cleans him up, brings him out of the prison. And he said, can I talk to you about this? Now, at this point in time, you would think that maybe Joseph says, look, please don't send me back to that prison. Maybe he would do something to plead for his own future. Notice one verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh and saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. There's the attitude of submission coming right out there. There's the fruit of it right there. It's not in me. It's the Lord of heaven. So that acceptance of the will of God for your life allows you and I to have this sweetness of spirit, this tenderness of heart. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 33, after Pharaoh has been explained the dream, and Daniel says, Joseph says, look in verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. I honestly don't believe that Joseph thought that was him. I think he was so humble and so in the will of God at the moment. He said, look, Pharaoh, you need to find somebody that's wise and discreet and that can rule well for the next 14 years, because you're going to need him, or Egypt's going to fail. The world might go down. And so, verse 34, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now, Pharaoh, you've got to find the right guy, and he's got to put all this back. And he's not saying it here, but he's got to be honest, discreet. He's got to be someone good to work with. He's got to be someone that's careful with things, someone that you can approach. Notice verse 37, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. Here's this young man out of prison, out of the dungeon that God's been working on for 13 years because he's allowed God to work on him. And folks, that's all I want to encourage you to do. And you can look at it in the mirror and say, well, this is the way I am. Take me or leave me. No. God has placed us here to make an eternal difference. And you and I have to have this acceptance of the will of God. And we've got to have this attitude of submission. Lord, I am yours, before he can give us the accomplishment of success. It doesn't just happen. Nothing happens by accident. You and I work at it. You and I work at being spiritually minded. You look at Daniel's life. He got up in the mornings and he prayed, and he prayed three times a day, and he read the scriptures, and he walked with the Lord. And so this excellent spirit of his. And I want to encourage you today. Let your life become the kind of life that God can use. Is he working on you? Is it year 12? Is it year 6? Is it year 15? Are you in a position of leadership? Are you handling it wisely? Remember this. Joseph is in charge of everything, and he sees his brothers come up. Now, Joseph, love your brothers. I know they mistreated you, but you forget all that. Now the tables are completely turned, and what does Joseph do? He weeps when his brothers come for supper. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Do you understand a Christian that is living for the day he's called to heaven to receive his rewards cannot be offended, cannot be wicked, cannot be pushed into bitterness, is forgiving, is loving, is compassionate, because God works on all those things in all of us, because that's him, and we're to be like him today. Are you letting the Lord work in your life? If you're here today and you've never asked the Lord to come in your heart and save you, you haven't even gotten started yet. You're still eligible for hell. That's where you're going. You're not a heartbeat from hell. It's just one heartbeat and it's all over, and there's no reprieve. Today, would you trust the Lord as Savior? And if you have, look, accept what's going on in your life as the will of God and say, Lord, use this in my life and help me to learn to be better for you. I can remember with the neck brace going to the doctor, and Susan driving over a railroad track, and Josh, I said, honey, easy, easy, easy. And, you know, it dawned on me, You know, when I go over a railroad track, I see how I can get off the ground, you know. And now here she's driving for me. I'm saying, honey, can you drive a little easier, drive a little slower? You know, things come around and kind of get a hold of your heart. And you say, Lord, help me learn the lesson. I remember eating cereal or trying with a full neck brace on. You ought to try to eat your cereal when you can't move your neck. When you try to put the spoon in there. And you know what happens? The milk drops off of it and runs down your deal here. It's kind of embarrassing. And I remember Susan didn't look at me and laugh, not once. She said, honey, let me help you with that. I said, Lord, help me to be like that. But I never saw it before. I just didn't have the compassion. And so when Susan lost her leg, it was easier to take care of her. Because God had already worked in my heart for 20 years. And all I'm saying to you is that God worked on Joseph's heart for 13 years to prepare him for the day to take over Egypt. I'm not saying God's preparing you to take over Egypt, but I am saying unless you're accepting the will of God for your life where you are and say, Lord, help me to shine right here. And unless you have the attitude of submission to your parents, to your husband, to your heavenly Father, to each other, God can't work on your life like he needs to. And you won't be ready. And when you stand before him, there are going to be empty pages or empty spots on the page. I often think about when Stephen, first deacon, does anybody remember his first job? That's listed in Scripture. He's a table waiter. Attitude of submission. Acceptance of the will of God. Ma'am, widow, what can I get you? Can I get you some tea? Can I get you another drumstick? Can I get you a napkin? I mean, this is the same guy a few years later dies by stoning. But it started out in here. He's a table waiter. And that's the reason why he could get up and preach, and God chose him and said, now, I've got you ready. I want you to preach. And so he preached before all the Pharisees, and he preached with such a loving heart that it touched the heart of Saul. What would have happened if he had not learned to wait tables with the right spirit? And he would have picked up a few stones and thrown them back. Saul would have said, that's just like those Christians. But you find that passage where they laid their coats down at his feet, Saul's feet. And then you read a little bit later and he says, the Holy Spirit touched his heart. And God, Jesus Christ said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What pricks? The prick of that submitted spirit of Stephen. When he died and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you remember what happened? He looked into heaven and he saw Jesus standing. The only time in Scripture, can you imagine? And all of heaven begins to ring out. Stephen's coming home. The Bema seat of Christ. Stephen. Stephen comes before the Lord. Takes his book. Wow. You serve the widows well. Wow, you preach with compassion. Wow, you died well. Pages are all full. Welcome home, Stephen. Are you living for that day? You've got to ask the Lord to save you. You've got to have an acceptance of the will of God for your life. You got to have the attitude of submission. And God provides the accomplishment of success. The Lord lifts up and puts down. You cannot outgive the Lord. You have one life to live. Live it for Him. Lord Jesus, today, I plead with you to allow your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. Lord, help us to have the attitude of submission like Joseph had every place that he went. And Lord, his attitude was so infectious that he was caused to be uplifted. Lord, it doesn't make sense. Attitude of submission equals a respect of others and the lifting up into position of overseership. Lord, help us to learn to be what you want us to be at the time you want us to be, so that whenever you need us, we're available. Lord, help us to live for the day when you take the book of our life, open it up. Lord, help us to have every page filled. Speak to heart this morning. In your name we pray.